Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. Last day of May, right? Today?
One more, 31st.
One more. We got one more. My bad.
It's all
interesting
good.
Since we've got a lot of Mariah May to talk about today.
Get it?
Lots going on there. But we've got more than Mariah May to talk about. We've got this episode of SmackDown to talk about in a very busy day on Fightful Select, which I'll tell you about a little later. We're not going to bore you too much in the beginning. We're going to talk at you with you about this episode of SmackDown. So get in your super chats, get in your humper chats at humperchats.com if that's how you choose to support us. We appreciate it in any way, shape, or form. Busy week on Fightful Select, and we're going to review a couple of things, but we're going to talk about this episode of SmackDown. We're going to talk about Mariah May and the story that got broken about her today by PW Insider, with a lot of supplemental details on Fightful Select for you guys. But I gotta say, like, the WWE main roster women's division pulling up four women at the same time from AEW. Sounds like Mariah May is on her way in. Now, one thing that a lot of people were missing today, an important detail in that Fightful Select report, is, like, she's still technically under contract with AEW. She just got removed from the roster page. So I don't know if it's up at the end of the month. I don't know if it's up in August. Like, we don't know that, but she's removed from the roster page. So some people were like, she's showing up at SmackDown. She's going to win a Money in the Bank qualifier. It's like, well, hold your horses. Imminently doesn't mean the same day. Now, that happens sometimes in wrestling. We saw it with Ricky Starks. He was out of AEW one day, showed up the next. So I'm not blaming wrestling fans for thinking that, but it just isn't as imminent as some people were fantasy booking already. But they're really bolstering this women's division. Anthony Velasquez saying, good for Mariah May, gonna miss her in AEW, but she was gonna end up in WWE eventually. Yeah, for some people, that's just the angle, right? And I talked about this on our TikTok a little bit earlier. There's always silliness online, but I also saw some of the, like, Tony fumbled narrative, and it's like, not in this case. Mariah May was booked in the world title picture for her entire 2 years in the company, right? So, and I know they made her an offer. They didn't just let her walk out the door. So has Tony Khan fumbled people? Absolutely. Has WWE fumbled people? For sure. But to me, and this is just a mea culpa, to fumble somebody to me is like when I see that the righteous walked out the door, right? Like, that's an act that I think has such potential. I thought they were so cool in ROH and could have been really cool in AEW. When I see Layla Hirsch walk out the door, I'm like, how do you miss on Layla Hirsch? The people that aren't utilized, I feel like, are the ones that are fumbled. So there's certainly been situations like that. Ethan Page, I think, is showing that to be true. Ricky Starks, I don't know what the tension was or whatever was going on there, but he was definitely sitting on the bench for a year. So there are cases where people are fumbled, but I don't think you can say that about Mariah May, because she was literally in the world title picture. She had a near perfect run there, right? Like, in the world title picture the entire time, one of the most memorable heel turns of all time, an incredible long-term story to be a part of, probably the most successful long-term AEW women's division has had, you could argue, in the entire company. Chris and Willow, I think, are certainly in that conversation as well. But she had an incredible run there. Sometimes people just want to move on, Alex. Their dream growing up as a kid was going to WWE. Certainly she could sign with WWE and probably come back someday. Like, that's the beauty of having options. So I am happy for her. I don't think her AEW run could have gone any better. I think with her look and her style, she brings something incredibly unique to WWE. She kind of has, she said it, like, we all admired the Divas era, like a lot of us growing up did. And she kind of has that look about her, but she hits like a truck in the ring, and that's something that's pretty unique and special to her. So she'll, I think, do so well in WWE. I think she did a great job in AEW. So that's kind of where I'm at on the Mariah May front. How are you feeling about Mariah May going to WWE, and what was your favorite part of her in AEW?
Heartbroken, betrayed, stabbed in the back.
I will never watch
her again.
You specifically, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Listen, this is how you keep a healthy business going. Football players go to different teams every so often. Baseball players, it happens in everything. You leave your job, you go to another better one. You know, you don't have a troll on Twitter going, "Oh my God, I can't believe Jeff Smith left Wachovia Bank to go work at Bank of America. What a dick.
Chase Bank shill.
How dare you, damn shill of Chase." Right? So it's really weird. Like, I think this week was the closest week I got to saying I'm shutting all social media down. Like, completely. Yeah. Like, just deleting it. Because just, I'm tired of it. I am. I really am tired. But I do feel that she'll do great. I think, so one of the things that I was sad to see her go, because I thought that she would have been one of the top AEW women there because of her, of the
she
way
has
that they,
been, since
when
she in,
came
right?
in, yeah. Everyone was like, "Oh, she's definitely going to WWE." When she was a free agent and left, you know, where she came from, I remember people going, "I don't even know if she's going to show up at AEW." She signs with AEW, right? For whatever reason, maybe WWE just didn't give her the time of day. But it was just such a great feud that she had. I was like, "Give me a Tony and Mariah part two." Like, give me another, you know, if you're talking Hollywood endings, there is no such thing. There's always a part two. Look at John Wick. He's up to part seven. Come on now. Like, let's do it up.
Six seasons in a movie with Mariah.
Yeah.
Mays,
like, there was so much there to do. So I kind of felt sad, not upset or anything. That was just like, there was so much potential. Then, you know, you start going through the paces as a fan of wrestling. You're like, did Tony actually, like, just mess this up? Like, I started questioning myself. Like, I always see AEW wrestlers just disappearing, you know, like, hard, you
it's
know,
such
like
a corny narrative, though. Because
I know,
like,
it is, but I get, yeah. But this is where this is bringing it back in full circle, and I'll shut up. That's the part where I want to shut social media down,
yeah,
because it made me think like that. Normal Alex doesn't think like that. Normal, I was like, great, go there. By the way, I did put like a little poll on both Twitter and
the Sky,
Blue Sky, and everyone said the same thing. Great for her. We love her, but I don't watch WWE. A lot of people. I mean, yeah. When I tell, even on Twitter, people were hitting me up. They're like, "Oh, that's great. We love her." I can't. Oh, you know, there was wrestling fans that were, you know, WWE fans that were like, "Yeah, of course. Like, you know, I admired what she did there. I'm not a fan of AEW, but I saw how good she did there. I can't wait to have her in the ring here." But then there was also a higher majority of people just saying, like, I don't have a reason to watch that brand, but we love her. We hope she does amazing.
Yeah. Like, I'm bummed I won't get to see her because I don't watch that product is a perfectly normal response to have.
Sure. Yeah.
The amount of idiots on both sides is incredible. Like, people who would do like Tiffany Stratton better. Mariah May is Timu Tiffany
Stratton.
Version. And now they're, oh, like, God. Mariah May is the greatest thing ever to
There's a guy online who just put his account private because he had about 30,000 tweets about Mariah May being the Tiffany, you know, the Temu version of Tiffany Stratton. And he just, or they, whomever, put their, I'm pretty sure they're going through the archives, deleting the hell out of their stuff.
Probably. Probably. I also saw an AEW fan blame Mercedes Moné and her booking of herself as the reason that Mariah May is weird. Leaving.
She's like, happy. She's going. What? I'm happy for her. I can't wait to see. Honestly, I don't resonate well.
I need to stop and pause at how insane that is. Because Mariah May has been in the world title picture the entire time
she's been in AEW.
She started in the story that has dominated this for 2 years. Her entire run was in the world title picture. And an AEW fan was like, it's Mercedes Moné's fault she's leaving. Are you out of your damn mind? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. So the biggest thing, and I'm glad multiple people in the chat mentioned it, my heart is with my sincere condolences to Nigel McGuinness. Allie saying that this might send Nigel back into retirement. Yeah,
he might be gone.
He needs me now more than ever. He is going to be unwell. I actually think.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I think part of why Nigel and Daniel Garcia lost is probably he like knew the vibes that this was coming. And
I think that was his ending. I think that was his Hollywood ending at the last pay per view. I can guarantee you he'll be calling Evolution in July. So
that's it. Yeah, he's going back to WWE because he can't live without Mariah. But more importantly, Allie asked, "Why aren't you Platinum Blonde?"
Oh. Allie, let's talk about this.
I mean, you have your hat on. You could be Platinum Blonde under there. We don't know.
This is the hat that I was wearing, by the way, in that picture. Exactly like this. Same exact hat because I'm a hoarder, okay?
No, this is just what boys do. They don't throw anything out.
I still have it. I'm going to be up in Jersey. I might do a little something fun while I'm up there. So,
okay.
You know, but I do... I got to find those pictures. I searched everywhere that night, but then I fell asleep and then the week was crazy. We had the holiday and I apologize. I mean,
shout out to you for finding the one and then also finding your I'm a tough guy backyard wrestling.
That is not a tough guy picture. That's just, oh, no, that's not it. Never mind. That was just a blue screen. I'm not going to put that up.
Always feels like the Wyatt Six is breaking in. Always feels like the Wyatt Six is breaking in. Yeah. But some more love and chats from you guys. 2LT photos saying Leggy Blonde, Onion, Kate, and Clav. Yes, I am back to being blonde. Leggy Blonde. We are back. We are back, baby. We are so back to being blonde. Summer is around the corner. We got to get rolling.
Summer's already here.
It kind of is, yeah.
Well, for you guys, I heard it was like in the 50s, like, and snowing up there.
It was
like,
80 today. I'm not ready for this. It wasn't snowing. Don't make me take you off screen this early. Taylor Cannon saying hello, my favorite peeps in post show. Hello.
We love you, Taylor.
We do. Hope you are well. Love you both. We do love you so much.
No, we hope you are well.
Hope you are
well. And we love you.
Yeah. So take that.
Take that to the bank and smoke. Wait, no, that's not it.
That's not the phrase.
First of all, I want to know who you bank with because I'm a shill for my Bank of America. So. If you don't bank with Bank of America, I'm taking it all back.
I'll tell you this. I bank with whoever wants to sponsor us.
Oh, you are such a sellout. You are 100.
Oh, 100%.
We should call this Friday night sold out.
S-O-U-L-E-D.
Yeah.
Or just D, right? I'll tell you what. You want to talk about banking? I'll tell you about where to put your money. And that's on some wrestling bets at BetOnline.ag.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. Whenever you hear about odds for wrestling events, boxing events, MMA events, or really anything, it comes from BetOnline.ag. They have the earliest lines with odds open before the competition. You can bet big with high limits and re-bet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in just minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. The biggest markets like NFL, NBA, NCAA, NHL, UFC, plus odds for things like WWE, AEW, and tons of other companies as well. They also have a bunch of popular games. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. As I mentioned, if we have odds here on Fightful, they are always coming from betonline.ag. Check it out, my friends. Bet what you can. Please bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag. If you want to bet on wrestling, that's where you can do it. You can head on over to BetOnline.ag. Let's really quick talk about some additional things that went up on Fightful Select, and then we will dive into this episode of SmackDown, I promise. Sprout, we normally do stuff like this in Super Chat form, but because this is something we've been asked about a lot, were those just still injured to our knowledge? Haven't heard that he's cleared yet. I think people didn't realize how badly he's injured because it kind of just went away for a little bit, but he was booked for an independent show around WrestleMania and he was pulled off of that. I'm assuming because he just still wasn't ready. So that's the latest that I know of. Great place to ask questions like that. If you are a subscriber to FightfulSelect.com, Sean does a Q&A post every week, and he also has a Q&A in our Discord channel. So if you are a subscriber at the $5.99 tier, you get access to that, and you can just bug Sean whenever you want. I don't mean to brag.
Bring him on Discord all day and night. He will answer. It. He's up all day and night.
That is a true statement, my friend. That is a true statement.
He'll answer even when he's on his Stairmaster working on his glutes.
He hopped on to our Tuesday post show from the Stairmaster.
See, told you guys.
Dude is a beast. We love that for him. A couple more things that went up on Select. If you want to hear one of the funniest Eddie Kingston interactions that you can hear, on Wednesday, Sean had broke the news that Hangman Adam Page and Will Ospreay were pushing for each other to win. And some people didn't like that. And they were like, that's breaking kayfabe. And Eddie Kingston posts on his Instagram, we know which jerk off did this. And so Sean was like, oh no, do I have heat with Eddie? We've interacted before. He's always been cool to me. And Eddie just basically said, oh, I was just being a dick. I wanted to see if anybody would out themselves as having talked to you. He goes, I'm not kidding. He said, the only thing that I got mad about is that my friend called me a gatekeeper, and I have no idea what that means.
That's funny. That's
great. And he said, you can quote me on that if you want. And that he didn't mean to cause Sean any harm, but it done in the most Eddie Kingston way. It's posted on our social media channels. I was in stitches, but you can hear more about that on the AEW Dynamite post show if you didn't catch that one. A couple other things on Select. Some information about international WrestleManias and where they might not go, where they might go, the challenges of bringing them to certain locations. So you can check that out. Covers London, covers Saudi Arabia. Cover some details about Las Vegas as well. Nothing confirmed, I'll tell you that much, because I don't want you to like subscribe for that story and be like, I know where the next WrestleMania is. Nothing confirmed on that. But more information if that's something that interests you. In regular news, Abaddon also leaving AEW. Their contract is up, so a bummer there. You never like to see people not getting paid what they were getting paid, but hoping the best for them. I think they could do great in TNA. But yeah, busy day on Fightful Select. The Mariah May news as well. Plenty, plenty going on over there. So get your $5.99 worth and hang out over there. Most important news of the week, Alice Pulaski and I reviewed the movie The Chaperone. So you're going to want to check that out, as well as the movie Inside Out, which was basically the same movie.
Yeah.
Ben with a generous chat, thank you so much, saying, the saddest thing to me about Mariah leaving is that scummy company is probably going to get away with paying much less than Tony Khan would offer, just like they did with Stephanie. I wouldn't make any assumptions about anyone's contracts. I don't know if... keep in mind, Steph had her AEW appearance and looked really impressive. Mariah May is a proven entity on week-to-week television, which is a little bit different of a feel. I can't imagine she would go somewhere where she wasn't getting a bag, to be honest. I think she's probably just fine in the financial department. But I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But also, different things make different people happy. Like, some people aren't financially motivated. Some people are very financially motivated. Some people will only go to the highest bidder. Some other people want the freedom of schedule that places allow. Like, it's all their criteria and what makes them happy. But I understand your point. I wouldn't say they're a one-to-one comparison, because Steph, who was connecting extremely well with this crowd, wasn't on weekly episodic American television before that. But let's finally dig into this episode of SmackDown. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We have a lot to talk about. Let's start at the end with our main event segment that, I'm sorry, just had no business being a half hour long. It was ridiculous how long this was. Cody Rhodes gets a huge pop. This is his first post-Mania SmackDown appearance proper. He returned at Saturday night's main event. He kind of waxes poetic about his title reign a little bit and says, was I a good champion? And a friend told him yes. And he goes through things like revisiting AJ's fake retirement, the bus attack betrayal, The Rock still kind of looming overhead, but most of all, John Cena. And Cody admits he hesitated when Cena gave him a choice, and that won't happen again. So I like that he acknowledged the fact that he could have just taken him out with the title, and that he didn't, and that's on him. And then he kind of goes into warm-up comic mode and introduces Jey Uso. And I'm sorry, some of that promo was really good. This was an extremely corny, ladies and gentlemen, Jey Uso. It sounded like it was straight out of a late night thing. He yeets for longer. I'm not kidding. This is not an exaggeration. He yeets for longer than the women's U.S.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Title match on Saturday night's main event was. Now, Chelsea Green, unfortunately, broke her nose, it sounds like. Something in her face is broken. We see her on the show tonight regardless, because it was a clean break. So maybe that match went home early. I don't know. Probably not, based on how rushed the end of Saturday night's main event was. But you can't be yeeting longer than you're giving one women's match on your card. That is ridiculous. You got Cody and Jay standing tall. They go to break here. And you have John Cena coming out and calling them wannabe hims. This John Cena turn is just... I've been trying to be patient with it. I'm losing patience. This is just not good. You are a wannabe me, and you are a wannabe me. And he tries so hard to put Logan Paul over as like the only other superstar in WWE. He condescends the idea of being a pro wrestler, which I was like, nobody's more sports entertainment than Jey Uso. I don't know why you would say that Jey Uso is more of a pro wrestler than a sports entertainer. That guy is very clearly and vividly a sports entertainer. But he says, my partner is here too. Color me shocked about that. I had no idea Logan Paul was going to be there. And Logan Paul basically just says a bunch of hypocritical heel things, right? He calls them Nepo babies on the other side of the table. Says nobody thought he would be in this position, much less, you know, a WWE superstar, much less hanging out with the GOAT. He calls John Cena the last real champion and himself essentially inevitable. I don't know, man. I don't know. A whole lot of nothing was said in this. I was not compelled by any of it. John Cena saying you're a wannabe. Like that. Oh, ouch. Like, come on, man. I don't know. There was a lot of stuff on the show that felt good, but I felt like for a half hour, they said very, very little. Very, very little. Your thoughts on this?
It was very just... And then when you watch it on Netflix, it's even longer because you're just now watching through a commercial. And
is it, the whole commercial break was just yeeting.
It was just... I did an extra
round of yeeting after the commercial break, which was entirely yeeting. I was yeeted out, brother.
Here's the differences between, you know, like we mentioned, like the differences in companies. It's just this. We didn't need this. We didn't need this to be this long. They even went over. Like that. Yeah, that was even
a half
worse.
Hour long and got an overrun. I'm like,
yeah. Why?
To not say very much, you know?
Why?
Like, I get Cody had to have his return promo, of course. That makes a ton of sense. And the end of Saturday night's main event was so rushed, they probably wanted to, like, properly set this up more. But this was a half hour of not...
The whole Logan Paul thing just wasn't needed. That just... I don't know, man. It's just... I've said this before. I just don't think I fit the demo anymore. Because I'm a grumpy old man going, why is this taking forever? When you could have just said what you needed to say and then beat the crap out of each other. That would have been more fun. I mean,
a base criticism, because this, when it's this long and this little gets moved forward or accomplished, here you go. You want to, I'm going to be an AEW mark for you guys. The big criticism is that AEW doesn't tell stories.
Oh, yeah.
Both promos that bookended Dynamite kicked the crap out of this. I'm sorry. Those stories got infinitely more interesting, and this feels so stalled. I cannot believe they've made a John Cena heel turn this boring. And the thing that's so frustrating is in this tag match, it probably feels like Travis Scott's going to return. So,
oh my god,
oh my god,
go there.
Let's talk about this dweeb real quick. No, I'm not. You know what? Actually, I am. I'm an AEW mark, I'm a WWE mark. My favorite promotion is New Japan. Knock it off. Wrestling is good in every company, wrestling is bad in every company. I critique it all.
People just need to chill the F out.
I'm all fired up now. But if honestly, if the criticism is storytelling and the measure of weekly episodic wrestling storytelling is week to week advancement of things, AEW advanced both of their big pictures. They're also heading into their most important pay-per-view of the year. They should.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that I can just time people out for being stupid. And this didn't move anything forward, right? Like, that nothing happened that advanced a story between these guys at all. Like, it's just nothing was said that felt intense. Nothing. There was no storytelling here. There was nothing. There was yeeting. There was like a little bit of a rekindling between Cody and Jay. And there was Logan Paul talking about how great he is. And there was John Cena calling them wannabes. These are like three of your top stars in the company and one that is massively popular outside of WWE and growing. It gets the reactions that people want in Logan Paul with this.
Let's move on. I'm kidding.
I'm fine with that. We can, yeah, I'm happy to move on. From
you
that.
Already know my feelings about, you know, whatever. It's just, I'm so.
As of late,
I've just been lost with what they're doing in certain areas. Not everything. I can follow along on other things. It's just as of late, I'm just having a hard time connecting to the brand. And I don't know what it is. Not because I'm a lover of another. It's just
30 plus wrestling minutes on a segment and nothing actually moves forward. That's a disconnect.
Yeah.
Right? Right. We can agree on that.
Agree.
Now, I'll tell you what I am here for. I am here for Naomi telling a returning Bianca Belair that she doesn't want to end up in a wheelchair like her mom. Holy crap.
Jesus Christ.
Young lady who used to be so nice and felt the glow even. Caution indeed. That was
crazy.
That was very intense, Naomi. She wins her Money in the Bank qualifier against Jade and Nia Jax, which I would say she's favorited, right? Nia Jax going for the double annihilator and Naomi countering with the crucifix pin was great. There was a Tower of Doom in this that was pretty good. Jade exploding with that follow-away slam before the black hole slam always looks good. There were parts of this that weren't so fluid and were kind of clunky. But Naomi winning was the right call, and everybody had a moment to show out in this. I don't know if it went into the gear that I was kind of hoping for, but I'm very glad Naomi won because I think she needed it.
Yeah.
And she, man, real mean to Bianca tonight, Alex.
You know, I like this attitude.
I know you're in on heel Naomi. I'm also in on the character, but she would feel the glow.
But it's time. It's time. Like, she needed something refreshing.
Yes.
Her refreshing moment in TNA. I don't know how many people actually watched it, right? Like, I don't know how many people actually paid attention, unfortunately, to the brand when she was there. To have her back over here and her kind of reinvent who she is and kind of follow through, it's worked, man, and I love it.
Yeah, this reiteration of her has been incredible. She's always had the intensity, so then when you put the heel, you're just flipping the switch of where that intensity goes, right? Into this heel persona. Yes. They did a good job of justifying it, considering, and the elephant in the room was kind of Bianca with this, right? Like, she's had her piece with Jade. Bianca returns to SmackDown after doing a lot of work on Raw, and Naomi's like, we've got something to talk about. I could see it, Alex. I could see the Money in the Bank briefcase covered in caution tape and seeing where they want to go with that. I think that's a better idea than Mommy in the Bank with Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea can get back to the title in other ways. Sure. I like when they attempt to use the Money in the Bank briefcase as a star maker or something that elevates someone who's kind of like on that cusp. Obviously, it worked with Tiffany. She had a good story with that, a long story with that. I'm thinking Naomi is the right call with this so far. Roxanne Perez would also be a good shout, but I feel like Naomi is like white hot at the right time. Are you thinking Naomi has a shot to win this?
I 100% feel like she should be the one to take it over. I think it's always fun when a heel has the briefcase, because it's just, to me, it's just, it makes it that much more interesting, because it's
so much better than when a face does.
Yeah, they're teasing you with it. Are they gonna cash it? They're bashing you over the head with it. You know, like, there's so many different fun things that you can do, as opposed to, you know, I will become the next champion in the world, and just that's as far as it goes, right? At least with a heel, like, you're doing a good chase. Plus, Tiff is a face.
Yeah, so she turned face after, right?
You're WWE. There's no gray. There's no blurred lines. It's good versus evil, and that is it. So
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. Ben saying, I just want to congratulate you both of you on being awesome. Yeet, yeet, and yeet. Well, thank you.
Well, this past week, I made, 3 years here, so.
Did you really?
Yeah, May 27th, 2022.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
I'm coming up on 5 years. Whoa, that's
right?
Wild.
Yeah, I started it, it wasn't 21. It was 20. Yeah, May 27th, 2022.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Aww. 3 years ago, Sean abandoned us for you to.
Been here for a long time, friends. I'm nearing retirement here at Fightful. Get my pension. That's
my pension too. Yeah. I have a question for you, Alex, and I have a question for the chat.
Oh.
There's been some weird reactions that have been happening in both world title pictures, and I've seen a lot of debate about it, and I'm wondering if it bothers people or if they're okay with it on the whole. On Raw, Seth Rollins, who is the leader of a heel faction and the top heel on that product, whenever he comes out to his music, he's getting cheered. And then 2 seconds later, he'll say a bunch of crap about CM Punk and everybody chants CM Punk. Then tonight, John Cena comes out and he gets cheered. He brings out Logan Paul, who gets cheered. Obviously, Jay and Cody are insanely over. But then Logan looks like an idiot because he says, he's like, what are you guys whining it about? And I was like, they were just cheering for you, bro. What are you talking about? But they eventually circle around to getting their heat. But do you find that distracting? Like, do you think they should stop having Seth Rollins' music play so that people don't cheer it? And do you think this was a good point by Abu. He said, I think it has to do with the fact that Triple H is so transparent about the fact that this is fake. Like, they say it on screen all the time. So they're like, well, if none of this is real anyway, we're just going to cheer whoever we think is cool. So does it bother you? Or are you kind of like, no, it's like when Adam Cole does the boom and everybody cheers for it, but then he just goes back to being a heel. You're just good with it.
Yeah, I'll go back to my previous comment. There's no gray line, you know, there's no gray zone anymore. It's just, if you're going to cheer, you're going to cheer. If you're going to like a song, you're going to sing along. You know, what was he going to do? Get in the ring and tell you to shut up and shut off the song? We've seen it, you know, like MJF comes out. People freaking, oh, it's MJF. Oh, you damn scumbag. Shut the F up. Oh, boo, we are scumbags. Like, you paid for your ticket. You're going to cheer and boo whoever you want. In 2025, no one cares, I think, anymore. You know?
I think, when I see it work the other way.
I don't mean about you. I mean, like, the people that are in the crowd there. Yeah. The people that paid the $700 to sit in the nosebleed, they're going to cheer regardless. You know, like, this is their time to hang out and be like, oh, God, break her down or whatever it is. I can't remember the songs. Anyway, but yeah, so, you know, people are going to jam out. CM Punk could come out tomorrow, or should I say on Monday, blast everyone with a blowtorch and say, I am evil CM Punk now. I am corporate punk. I'm friends with The Rock, and this is what I'm going to do from now on, right? But pops and people are going to cheer and sing along. Look at my eyes, you know?
See, this is a kind of a similar there point that I was making with Adam Cole, like the We Hurt People thing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I sing We Hurt People to get to my cat when I should probably be booing. Not my cat, but them. That's so funny. So here's what I always go back to with that. It doesn't like bother me.
It bothers you. Say the truth, Kate.
My God. It only bothers me in one promotion, though, because I'm a homer.
I'm sending you Nick Khan's phone number right now. Oops, I'm sorry.
Well, there was a time where Gunther was facing Cody. Mm-hmm. And right before the Gunther killed it.
Yeah.
And like everybody lost their minds with booze. And I'm like, I want more of that. Like, to me, that is, that's the best stuff ever. Some more chats from you guys. Ricardo saying bangs and claves, lovelies. Hello, hello, hello to you, Ricardo. I love that you get to join us after work. We appreciate
it. Yeah, we're happy about that.
Me and Norma saying blonde bangs are back in season. Apparently not claves. I have my claves, though. I'll say that.
I'll be honest with you. Last week, I was mowing the lawn. It was nice out. I was doing all kind of yard work. Like, I'm getting ready to do pavers in the back. Like, I'm domesticated.
We got a little sunburned?
I don't, as a Puerto Rican.
Oh, of course.
I don't get sunburned, but I do get this nice golden brown color, man. Like, I'm popping off right now. Claves are golden. You know what I'm saying?
Was there any meat on SmackDown that I should be aware of? Also, hello, bros. Hello, mate Normus. Was there any technically meaty match? I mean, JC Mateo being in the ring automatically makes something meaty.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jacob Fatu's the meat, so.
I was just going to say Fatu as well.
Anytime Jacob Fatu's, and I don't mean big boy status. I mean, he's the meat meister.
He's just meat, man.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Jacob Fatu since you mentioned him. And I think there might be some prayers being answered. Every week, Alex, I get on this post show and I say, what is The Miz doing with Carmelo Hayes?
No idea. That's an age-old question.
Every week I get on here and I'm like, if I could grant you one, I'm like, where's a genie? I will use all three wishes on breaking up Carmelo Hayes and The Miz. It seems like perhaps one of those wishes has come true. Every penny that I throw into a fountain is just please break up The Miz and Carmelo Hayes and let him be cool. But we have The Miz over managing Carmelo Hayes again ahead of his Money in the Bank qualifier. Hayes asks The Miz to just let him be him, man, and to trust his own talent. And then in the Money in the Bank qualifier, we have Fatu, who, bro, What a beast.
Bro.
It's him versus Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. And I love that they had that best of seven and they haven't revisited it, but there's that still like that history to play off of in this. But we have Andrade and Fatu dominating Carmelo Hayes and The Miz interfering. Yeah. He gets crushed into the barricade by Jacob Fatu. And I mean crushed into the barricade by Jacob Fatu. Tons of offense from Fatu in this. The crowd was real weird tonight. They were red hot for this. They were like crickets during Zelina Vega's defense. They were awake for this.
Sure.
We had double sentons with Andrade and Hayes hitting the Spanish fly on Fatu, but they get wrecked. We have that Andrade moonsault combo with Carmelo Hayes almost sneaking a pin. Fatu crashing through the barricade and attempting a hip attack like multiple times. This match was really, 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 really fun. We knew Andrade and Carmelo had great chemistry. You throw Jacob Fatu in there. I ain't complaining, man, but Andrade hits the message on Carmelo Hayes after some Solo Sikoa interference, who messes up here. Sikoa and Mateo interfered at ringside, and Uso fought off Mateo to even the odds a little bit here. But Andrade with the message to win, man. This was a more surprising result, but I like that they are continuing the dissension between Jacob Fatu and Solo, and Jacob Fatu just snaps backstage after.
He's
destroying equipment. He's livid about losing. He says, I don't need your help. So more cracks in the bloodline. Normally the slow burn on this would be kind of exhausting, but Jacob Fatu every week just makes me interested in it, just with everything that he brings to this story. How'd you feel about the qualifier? Were you surprised about the results? And do you feel like we now live on a blessed timeline because Carmelo Hayes and The Miz might be breaking up finally?
I thought it was a good match. Yeah. I mean, I was more interested in that, in the fact that how long was this Miz Carmelo relationship going to last? Anything that when you put those two together or anyone together with The Miz, you know something's bound to happen and nothing ever lasts, right? Like there's always everyone he's Mizzed out. What was his name? Alex Riley.
Mizzo. He's always tagging with someone.
He's always had something with someone and some type of beef. It was coming and it'll be good because you know, you're going to make Carmelo shine. They're not going to, you know, you're going to put someone with a veteran. You know, he's been there, 20 years? So, you know, I think it's going to be good for him.
End it now.
Yes, it's bad ended now. But in the long run, it's been, you know, I don't even want to say building him up because he was just so good in NXT.
Sure.
So, actually, this has hurt him. This whole situation losing a million matches and whatnot. I don't think that this has done anything to enhance who he is or his character. And if he gets into a beef with Miz, that still won't enhance anything, to be completely honest.
No, not at all.
So,
yeah, this has been incredibly ineffective, and that is why I whine about it every week.
Whine about it.
Will saying he was happy to see Bianca back on TV. So let's talk about that. Bianca does return. I had mentioned the line between she and Naomi. I think that's an interesting thing because those two have unfinished business. And what's kind of cool about that is that aspect of the story has been going on for a while. But because Bianca was so occupied with what was happening on Raw, it feels really fresh. And Bianca getting injured and coming back, like that feels like, oh yeah, let's dig into that. Let's tap into what's going on there. Cause we haven't really seen this version of Bianca with this version of Naomi outside of like some revolving door promos and things like that. I am here to see what comes out of that. I'm excited. We also had Tiffany Stratton downplaying Naomi later, and Naomi reminding Tiffany of some past beef that they had, and Alexa Bliss showing up and warning Tiffany Stratton that she is winning Money in the Bank, a previous Money in the Bank winner. So some good development there. some good development there. Are you happy to have Bianca Belair back? And what did you think of what we got out of those segments?
God, you guys know me. I love my women who can just beat up anyone. And she's definitely one of them. Glad to have her back in the picture. I just, where does she fit in? Where does she go? What do we do? Right? Like, she's been in a mix of almost everything. Tag team champion, you know, regular champion, women's champion. Where do we put her? Does she fit? Do they kind of put her towards, you know, the United States Women's Championship just to kind of elevate it, right? Like, not to win it, maybe just to be cause some type of ruckus in that division, right? In the mid-card. The problem is, too, like, now they have an abundance of talent that are kind of all climbing towards the top and towards that title picture, right? And then you've kind of the U.S. belt, if you look at it, even with Zelina having it, it's kind of been in that same vicious circle of rematches and the same people surrounding that title. It has not moved since Chelsea won it the first time. That title is still stuck in this hurricane that just makes things go round and round and round. So do you infuse her in that? Because that'll be great. You'll give it a fresh new look. A badass going after it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just because the main title picture right now and is pretty locked in. And then you also have, I don't know whether you wouldn't want to just randomly put her with a tag team. That's just weird, you know?
Yeah, so, especially after the story that she's in has so much to do with breaking up of a tag team. That would be kind of odd.
And I mentioned it not in the fact that, like, does she have to be thrusted into a title picture? Does she deserve the Charlotte treatment? No, she can very well just mingle around and beat up people. That'd be, you know, making her way back and have a BCD storyline, you know? But for me, it wouldn't be worth it. Like, she's that person that should just be in everything.
There's a couple of things that are interesting with this. One, like, her and Naomi do have to finish that up. Like, you do have to tie up that loose end. So I'm looking forward to what comes out of that. Yeah. A lot of people have said Bianca should go heel. And she has said that, like, if she were to do that, because she would want to go proper full-blown heel, like, it has to be the exact right creative at the exact right time, because why would she give up what she she has accrued, right? With all of this investment in her, which I respect a lot. I do think either way, the character could use some refresh. They got to somehow find a way back to Rhea and Bianca. I don't know if they get put on the same brands, but there was an interesting conversation we had on Tuesday night about the NXT call-ups, because they have pulled up Roxanne, Julia, it seems like Jordynne Grace as well, and Steph.
Yeah.
And some people were saying, well, if Mariah May comes over, she'll do an NXT run first. And other people were saying, no, she goes to the main roster. And the conversation has been like, well, the roster is too thin. The roster is too thin. And it's not. Like, they are just not utilizing that mid-card talent well at all. Like, the fact that Alba Fyre wrestles sometimes as a stooge. We got to see Piper Niven tonight, and she was great, but, like, they could be doing so much more. I don't think it's a roster depth issue. I think it's a roster utilization issue. I'd say AEW is the same problem.
Sure.
They've gotten a lot better about having more women on television than AEW, but it's the same ones week after week. Like, where's Thunder Rosa? Where's Deonna Purrazzo? Like, Thunder Rosa's won one match all year, I think. Where's Taya Valkyrie? Why is Athena and Witness Protection on ROH? Like, so both of these companies, I think, could do a better job at that for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
But I do think that Naomi with her in-ring style and Bianca with her strength, like, that could end up being, like, sneaky special in a way.
Sure.
Well, how many times can we say Chelsea Green maximizes her minutes more than anybody on screen? She's unbelievable here. She broke her face. Accurately, her face broke on the spot with Zelina. And so she comes out masked and all, and she has to complain to Nicholas the Dickolas, right? this is a good way to set up Alba Fyre and Zelina Vega. I'm sorry that I misspoke earlier. I had said that it was Piper Niven, but it was Alba Fire tonight. My apologies on that. But this is Chelsea Green's way of getting her title back, because if the Secret Harvest were to do it, then it would really basically be her title again. We cannot get them out of this loop, but I also feel like in the same way, it's the proper follow-up because of what happened. Like, I feel like you almost have to do this, because it would be very weird if Chelsea just didn't care. And if she's well enough to be on television, why wouldn't you? But we do have this match between Zelina and Alba Fire. Zelina wins with the code red. Nice to see Alba Fire dominating early in this. Green interferes, but hits Piper Niven by accident. So dissension in the Secret Harvest. But Vega countering into the code red for the win. Crowd was dead for this. Crowd was dead for this, which is a shame, because it wasn't a bad match, and Alba Fire finally getting a rep is a good thing. What did you think of where this story is going and the match?
Again, it's a little bit stalled for me. I don't know why. It just felt like that.
Because it's been the same people.
Yeah, I wanted you to say it, because someone's gonna freaking clip me and be like, this hater ass.
I'll say it. I'm already a mark. So
Bank of America mark. Yeah.
I always use that example too of just like, if somebody that was working at Samsung went to work at Apple, very few people would be like, what a sellout.
That's the thing. I grew up, listen, quick story. I grew up being an Apple mark, right? I loved Apple. Everything they do. I've owned every Apple product. But if I had the chance to say, showcase my talents with Samsung, and I'm working with them and I do such a great job with them, right? Case in point, I used to work at Best Buy. I was the number one Apple seller at Best Buy.
Let's go.
Okay, in the East Coast, the one in Totowa there on Route 46. Yeah. Okay. And I got the chance to go work at Apple, right? To continue my talents there. That was my dream. I'm going to go ahead and do it, because that's what I wanted.
This fucking Samsung. Oh, I said the F-bomb. My bad. That was aggressive. I didn't mean to be that aggressive.
Ow. I can't believe you said Samsung the F-bomb. That is right below.
I'm normally good about not doing that.
Right below the S-word, but you were really passionate about me working at Samsung. That's
what it is. You know what? It was
holy moly.
Because you changed phone brands.
I cannot believe you treated me like I'm gonna have a talk with HR after this, because
you should.
My heart's racing a little bit.
I don't ever want to say that big of a swear next to an ad spot, so we'll just save that for later.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is gonna enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., and you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Guys, nobody tell. I don't know how that happened.
How dare you, Kate?
Hey, Nord is so, so, so wonderful to us. Honestly, like, we've had some sponsors come and go, just the nature of the game. Like, that's all it is. But they continually deepen their investment in us, and it's been such a wonderful partnership. And more than ever, we're hearing people use the code Fightful or say, like, I'm going to subscribe for a month and see how it goes, and then use the code Fightful. And people are like, this is great. Like, I've been cutting cords. When you guys like post on Twitter or Blue Sky or whatever, you have no idea how much that helps. Like, our sponsors do see that, and it goes a long way. But last time we had talked to them or the time before, they were like, yeah, let's do more. And Sean was like, how about the Fightful Awards? And they were like, awesome, let's get our name on that. So they've been so great to us, and it's legitimately a fantastic service. Like, you can cover everything. You can save on AEW, still got pay-per-views, man. Like, save some money on those. Protect all of your internet. All of the things that Sean said in that ad are true, and it's worth the peace of mind. And on top of that, you're going to save as much all year in like buying two or three pay-per-views with Nord than you would if you were just buying them outright. So,
word.
This is what we love to see. It makes total sense for wrestling fans. It authentically does. It authentically does. Like, it's really nice to have a sponsor where we can say that. Like, truly, it does. Fightful PG Era Jones over here got me good. Thank you, File Driver. And Orion Ben, sending money for Kate's Fightful jail sentence. Too much ZSJ. It's true. Wow. He'll drop some bombs. I want to say, as a TMDK mark, Fujita in the finals of the Super Juniors, I think he's got to win against Yo, if we've got any New Japan fans in the chat. And if you are like, I can't catch up on this whole tournament, Battle of the Super Juniors, Block A, Block B, I got to catch up on all this. If there's one match that you want to catch up on from the last show, because it hasn't been the best tournament, Robbie Eagles versus Despy was awesome. It should have main evented. I don't care what anybody else is saying. But if you're... The tournament was a lot of 50-50 booking, which doesn't really make for a super exciting tournament. Robbie had a really, really good run, and that semifinal was fantastic with Despy. Watch those two tear it down. Recently became a mark for Fujita. That kid is the future of that company. He's honest to God. If you like New Japan, if you like Japanese wrestling in general, and you're not following Lyric, I don't know what you're doing. She's incredible. But she said, like, he could be their next Okada. I couldn't agree more. That kid is the future. He's just going to wheel kick people into oblivion. I love that guy. Yes. Love that guy. Nick Wayne did do well. There were a couple of AEW visitors there, Kevin Knight as well. But Robbie Eagles, like,
you can't go a segment without mentioning AEW, Mark. All night.
I'm a Robbie Eagles, Mark, is what I am. I love that dude. He also just has one of his nicknames is the Limb Reaper, and I just think that's like the most understated cold. The Limb Reaper is a really cool nickname when you are a part techer, part high flyer, as Robbie Eagles is. But let's keep moving through this episode of SmackDown. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats, much more tuning in power right now than we had at the beginning of the show. So we will remind you to subscribe to Fightful Select. A lot of updates went up there. Future WrestleMania stuff regarding London and Saudi Arabia and Las Vegas. No sites determined for 2026, but some good clarifying information over there. Sean worked really hard to get that for you guys. Most importantly, Alex Pulaski and I reviewed The Chaperone featuring Triple H. So you're going to want to see that. We had so much fun with that. So much fun with that. And obviously the Mariah May news. So a lot of supplementary details on that. Pro Wrestling Insider broke that story initially, I believe, but Sean had a bunch of other information ready to go for you guys. So lot of info over there, as well as Will Ospreay and Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah.
Loving each other. I think they were like, you should win the main event. No, you should win the main event. And then they kissed.
Wow, they kissed. I missed that part. I was watching the wrong AEW event. Oh, now I am a mark. I can't go without talking about AEW every single segment. This should be just called AEW SmackDown. Might as well.
I was just saying what was on Select, man. Let's talk about some more SmackDown, though. There was really good stuff with the NXT crossover into Worlds Collide. So let me be clarifying to people who don't watch NXT, because with all the women's call-ups that seem to be on the way, with it seeming like Ricky Starks is on the way, those aren't reports. That just feels like what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Ethan Page and Javon Evans were also on tonight's show. Now, Ethan Page just won the North American title from Ricky Starks. They immediately set up an event at Worlds Collide, or a match at Worlds Collide, that's Ethan Page Javon Evans, Laredo Kid, and Ray Fenix. So I don't think you're seeing Javon Evans and Ethan Page get called up. A lot of people were like, Ethan Page is on the SmackDown roster. I can't wait for the day that that's true. But and Javon Evans is incredible in the future. So looking forward to that. But I think those guys are just furthering the story. So when people, I saw some people being like, Shawn Michaels is going to have no roster left. This is just a part of that. This is just a part of that. So Ethan Page on commentary. He kind of turns on Fenix, tossing him over the table when there's some brawling near there. The heels isolating Javon Evans in this match a lot was some really good stuff. But Los Garza defeating Ray Fenix and Javon Evans in this. A good showing from Angel Umberto. That finisher is fantastic, but you had some really crazy offense from Fenix and Javon Evans in this. If you don't watch NXT, this was a nice introduction of as to what Javon Evans can do. He's also a hell of a promo. Like, that kid has gotten really comfortable at keeping his vulnerable side up front in ways that are really compelling. And also, he's very smart for a very young wrestler. So some good stuff. That intentionally messy ending was really fun. But this is to further the tensions for Worlds Collide. Likely not, I can't say for sure, but likely not Ethan Page and Javon Evans call up. So I just wanted to make sure that that was not confusing to anybody. But really, really fun match. Javon Evans and Fenix on the same side of things. I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be fun for Worlds Collide. This is going to be a good time. I loved this match. I had a lot of fun watching it. I love, love, love that finisher from Los Garza. What do you think of what we got here?
Yeah, it was a good showing. I'm a flippy flopper type of dude, so it was really cool to kind of just see, how these guys work together. Obviously, we know the reason why everyone got put together is to go, to head over to Worlds Collide and show off what they can do there as well, right? So, like the internet would say, is where's the story? No, I'm just kidding.
The story is they bought Triple A and they are gonna make it count.
They bought Triple A.
They brought not one, not two, but three.
Yeah,
three Triple of H them. Buying Triple A.
Yeah,
there you go. Follow Luis at Fightful Espanol for more of that information. He's so hyped up on this, and I'm excited for it too. But I just don't know that much about AAA. So I adore his passion for both sides of it, where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm familiar with Laredo Kid and I know these other guys. That's going to be awesome. But he's like, he's filling us in all the time. He is so, so hyped for this. He has the most contagious passion for lucha wrestling that you'll find. And him being a part of Fightful Espanol is so wonderful for us. We do now have Fightful Espanol on Facebook and on Instagram as well. So kudos to him for spearheading some of that work, because that's been pretty much all of it. He's been a wonderful asset in that regard.
Great job.
Yeah, killing it.
Killing it.
We love it.
As the kids like to say.
Well, we get R-Truth versus JC Mateo in a 2 minute and 20 second match, which is how this should have gone.
Yeah.
How this should have gone.
Nothing wrong.
You got
with that.
Mateo just overpowering R-Truth. Truth kind of rallying there with a bit of a shuffle, but then he can't really lift JC Mateo, and Mateo finishes him off with that tour of the islands. I love that. The thing is, why did John Cena have so much trouble with R-Truth then? Like, if JC Mateo finished him in 2 minutes and 20 seconds, John Cena should have finished him in about 30 seconds, right? Like, isn't that, if you're the greatest wrestler of all time and you're the current world champion, I feel like that inconsistency is an obstacle for me as a viewer. But that's just my thinking on it, is like, if the greatest wrestler of all time has more trouble than JC Mateo, that's just an odd thing to me. But in a vacuum, this is exactly how this match should have gone.
You're trying to make it too much sense. That's the
I know. JC Mateo is a beast. I'm very excited that we get to see him work here. But what do you think of this quick match?
Yeah, just I love a good squash. You know, yeah, I mean.
If you show me the tour of the islands, I'm happy. Like, if Jeff Cobb hits his finishing move, JC Mateo hits his finishing move, whether it's a 2-second match or a 20-minute match, I'm like, I want to see it.
yeah, you're right. It was good.
He's so cool, man. He's so cool. Let's keep rocking and rolling through this episode of SmackDown. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. I think we're at like 178,000 subscribers, which is unreal. You guys are showing out with the support for us. That really does help. It really does help quite a bit. But Will saying it is funny how they are like, Ray, we're going to team up you with everybody but Penta. Not yet. Yeah, they're waiting to reunite the Lucha Bros at the exact right time. If they do a draft or they shake up the rosters a little bit, I think you'll probably see dethrone the New Day. Like them as super over baby faces, I think will be a lot of fun. I think that will be a lot of fun. Let's continue. We do have the segment from Julia, which we have a chat about. So I did want to kind of point it out. Anthony Velasquez asking, why did they use subtitle for the Julia segment? Her English was pretty good. And what a nothing main event. Yeah, we kind of talked about that main event to close out the show. But Julia's English is very, very good. I don't know what their thinking is behind it, because sometimes they have subtitles, sometimes they don't. But she's excellent on the mic. She's I remember before she, I think, was officially a part of NXT, there was a question about, like, well, how is she going to do with the language barrier? And WWE's response was, her English is a lot better than some people that speak English around these parts. So we did have her saying that, you know, she's in this Money in the Bank stuff too, man.
They're burying their own talent who speak English. Unbelievable. You think they would do the AEW? Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's why Mariah May left, man.
Oh, they have, what's his name? The translator, Alex. Is that his name?
Alex Abrahantes, yeah.
Yeah. The, yeah.
Let's keep rocking and rolling. We did before the JC Mateo and R-Truth match have a bit with Little Jimmy where he mistakenly thinks that Mateo is Solo Sikoa's kid. We had Jacob Fatu having his own business and kind of hinting at Sikoa's ambitions, but having his own ambitions, which we saw that come into play later in the show. Yep. Let's talk some tag team turmoil erupting here on SmackDown. We have the Street Profits claiming to lead the best tag division in wrestling. Fraction want a rematch. Motor City Machine Guns say they've never been beaten by them. Surprise, surprise, DIY crashes it. But I like Candice LeRae getting involved because she reunited with DIY last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that she's on screen. She's an incredible wrestler in presence. But like, how many times are we going to the Motor City Machine Guns versus DIY? Well, I think we've talked about this several times.
Do you want my professional take on this?
Of course. Well, I know you are so excited about LFG Talent Motor City Machine
Guns. I'm happy that they're up on the main roster now. You know, like, it makes me happy. Last week I said send them back down. They can really help the division down there. They can get some reps. But, sure. You know, after seeing them a couple weeks on SmackDown, the good thing is DIY and all these other teams, they need jobbers to come in so they can get, you know, they can get some shine and squash and, you know, get through. So leave them up there. Let them get tossed around. They can do their little flippy floppy things and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, machine guns, da-da-da-da, you know. And
developmental talent, the Motor City Machine Guns.
You know, back in the day, we used to have jobbers all the time. You know, we would watch them on WWF at the time. They would come in and get squashed.
I'll say this sincerely. Chris Sabin has looked the same age for like 15 years. He's changed a haircut maybe once.
Yeah.
And that guy still looks the same age, I feel like. But
I'm okay with it, man. Leave him up there. They're in my good graces now. I'm going to advocate for the youngins. Leave them up there. They'll learn. They'll learn. Put them in some cage matches and stuff like that.
On the job training, you know what I mean? That's what it is. I feel like if you do a two out of three falls match, especially with DIY, that's the signal that a feud has ended. Like, that was kind of a DIY NXT Black and Gold, I guess, but especially DIY, like, signature match. So the fact that they're still stuck at each other's craw, I feel like, is getting a little tired.
Kate, besides the Street Profits, who are the title holders, there's no other real competition in the tag team division. That's why we've seen the same, like, kind of circle of people fighting each other. There hasn't been, like, any new teams that pop up and say, hi, we're going to beat you, right? Or, like...
weird is, like, it feels like they didn't really do anything with the momentum off that incredible ladder match. Like, there was no alignment then. Okay, I faced them on one-on-one. I faced them one-on-one. I faced them one-on-one. I faced them one-on-one. I feel like Pretty Deadly should be in the mix. I feel like Fraxium will probably be next for real. But I don't know. I'm with you where it feels like it's the same permutation.
But when it comes to Pretty Deadly, which I'm a huge fan of, they got really nice calves. Are they taking them seriously? Right? That's the point that you want. In today's WWE, and I'm going to shut up after this. Today's WWE is different. They lean on they've been leaning more on the acting, on the drama, right? On the serious faces and on the serious characters, right? So when you have a team like Pretty Deadly come in who are not that, right? But they can fight, but they're still not that. Right? You know, that's why you're seeing DIY come in four times. Right, you're seeing Motor City Machine Guns come in, you know, Fraxium coming into it. Fraxium might be a little gimmicky where they're like, oh, I think I took some shrooms and now I'm watching Fraxium in the beginning when they're first coming out. But they're still going to kick your butt in the ring and they're still pretty serious, even though they have the weird intro, right? They're still going to come in there and whoop you so they can be taken seriously. And then here's my last thing, because I know we're going to get into it. Throwing the Wyatts into this mix, right? Yeah. Okay. The Wyatts are not serious. The Wyatts is as gimmicky.
I mean, they tried to commit homicide on Raw. I'm pretty sure.
No. And come on. Maybe.
They are gimmicky, but they're a serious gimmick.
It's still gimmicky. The Street Profits are two dudes that if you see in the street and they pull up, you ain't going to say nothing to them, right? That's what I mean by serious, right? Fraxiums are two good-looking dudes that'll beat the crap out of you. DIY for sure. You know, Ciampa? I'm bigger. I'm like 30 feet taller than Ciampa.
You don't think these walking demons are something you're going to think is
fine when you... I don't think so. These dudes, like...
If Nikki Cross is coming at me, I'm crossing the other side.
The Wyatts are good for the little kids in the front row. Cody.
Disagree. The Wyatts are
here. I'm gonna put my towel on towel on my face because I don't want to see the demons. Right?
They've committed multiple murders.
Stop.
I don't know how much more serious you want them to be, Alex. They kill people.
Oh my god. They kill people. They kill people.
You AEW shit.
Oh, here I am again.
The Wyatts do interrupt here, and there's a pretty massive beatdown. From Nikki, who attacks Candace. Bo hits the sister Abigail on Fraser. So they're kind of putting this whole division on notice, which is interesting. They haven't singled in on a team, but Uncle Howdy says that they won't stop until they get what they are owed. If you're not into spooky stuff, I get it. I'm not the biggest purveyor of it either.
There was only one spooky thing that I was into.
That was
ripped from my heart. So
that's what you're like. I can't get emotionally attached to them.
I'm never gonna get emotionally attached to, especially spooky.
Yeah, you were like, I had spooky Scottish witches, and they tore them away from me. I can't. I'm not ready to trust again. I'm not ready to open my heart.
My heart's not open anymore, friends.
Here's what I liked about this, because I understand the obstacle of that. This beatdown was pretty intense. Like they did a good job of doing the actual beatdown part. So I'm not mad about that.
Right.
Not mad about that.
The beatdowns are cool, but again, I don't there's nothing serious about it. Cool. If you're going to give the titles to the spooky people, cool. Then they're murderers. Who's going to take the titles from them if they're murderers, right? No one.
It does seem like when murder enters the picture, it does make the wrestling part a little less important.
Bring Abaddon like... in and put her into Wyatt 7.
We got a couple more things to talk about. Last call for super chats and humper chats if you want to send them in, but this I like. So,
at
Saturday night's main event, Damian Priest and Drew ended their feud in a steel cage match. Truth behind all of it is that Drew was very, very injured and beat up. So he's going to go away for a little bit. Mm-hmm. This was the way to send him out. And then the next thing for Damian Priest is looks like it's going to be this program with Jacob Fatu. Obviously, we have stuff going on with Solo right now, but Damian Priest versus Jacob Fatu, sign me up. Sign me up. So we do get this nice promo from him. He's kind of reflecting on ending the feud with Drew, and then he calls out Jacob Fatu, and he says, like, I respect you, but I don't respect the rest of your goofball family here. And he says, interference isn't going to fly in matches with him, which I like. And we also get a stare down between Fatu and Priest where there was no physicality, but if you could have physicality with just your face, like that stare down was very scary. So I love that idea. It's really fun to me to get to see Damian Priest work with guys of bigger size, because people forget how big that dude is. And he's worked a lot of guys who are a little smaller, and like Drew is huge and Jacob Fatu is huge. So I like seeing him pick on someone his own size a little bit there. And I also like him saying, like, no, you're great. The rest of your goofball family, not so much. So he's obviously playing into this story that we have, which I like. And I am here for whatever that's going to be. So your thoughts.
So you mean to tell me they benched someone in WWE?
You mark.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say that they're letting somebody who's injured recover.
I don't know about that. Sounds like they're benching him to me. and we all know we don't bench anyone. Yeah, I'm kind of glad it's over. It felt long. I mean,
it got long in the tooth, yeah.
Very long. It seems to me like Damian wants to beat up everyone that has a title, and he wants to hold every title. He wants to somehow be a Grand Slam champion. I'm here for it. Go ahead and do it.
That's what I would do if I was a wrestler.
Yeah, he's he's a good talent. It seems to me like they're really putting their chips behind him. And him being Puerto Rican, why not? I'm gonna get behind. I'm not trying to be like I'm only behind the Ricans and the Latinos. But
you had said a couple weeks ago or last week, like he's just such a great representative.
He's 100% a great rep. He's like, at the parades. He was at the Knicks game with Bad Bunny. You know, he has a street name.
Heck yeah, he does.
Like he is. Someone who when you call out for him, you don't have to worry about the fact that someone's going to dig something bad up about him, right?
Yeah, he's just a good dude, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to tell everyone that because he's a bad dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a bad guy, but
he's
a good guy. And he's a bad guy because he got someone benched, but he's also a good guy because he can wrestle.
injured talent or bench, like it's gonna get to that point, and I'm ready for its unravel.
Wherever he goes, I will 100% love to see where it is that they want to do with him. It's just I would like it for him to talk less, because it seems like all the promos kind of always kind of surround the same thing, the same vibe. He's saying almost the same thing. You know, I'm going to be driving. Oh, Drew, I hate you, but that's the last time. And, you know, like when he talks about Jacob Fatu, he's like, Matt Pryor. I like that interaction at the very end with Jacob Fatu. They should have given each other like a little fist bump, kind of like expressing we both came from the same hood. We've both been shot at. And we both are here to bench people. So I like we bench people.
I like the idea, like it's like bench pressing people.
That's instead. It. That's what they do. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I love
this promo fell Eddie Kingston like Patna. Yeah. They're both Puerto Rican and they're both from the Bronx, and Yonkers are not far away.
Yeah. So I'll wait and see what they're gonna do with him. I'm excited to see his career flourishing and see where else he's gonna go.
Me too. I think this is a perfectly appropriate place for Damian Priest to go.
Agreed.
Well, let's round out the night with these LA Knight and Aleister Black promos. Knight talks up his Money in the Bank experience and says that whether or not he wins, titles are in the future for him regardless, so he's not winning. But he did say it's kind of like, this is my third one. It's kind of put up or shut up time, right? So I liked what we got out of LA Knight. Crowd still loves this promo too. Yeah, big time. Big time. And we also had Aleister Black interrupting Knight's recent win to thank him. And he says, hey, man, you're welcome. So
he said, you're welcome. I don't take pins. No, I'm just kidding. I'm on a roll tonight. I'm such a mark.
No, I love it. I hope people realize it's sarcastic.
I know. Please, guys, by all means, I know someone's going to aggregate this and be like, Marky Mark, Alex.
Do you believe that they said they don't know anything? They think Motor City Machine Guns are an
LFG. This guy thinks Motor City Machine Guns. Just kidding. I would love for that to happen, man. I'd be so happy. Finally, call my mom and show her.
Be like, look,
mom, I got aggregated. I'm coming up. Coming up.
I made it, Ma. I made it.
Hey, I'm about to sign with an agent, guys. So, you know, I gotta have things that I can show this person.
Like, look at how worthy heat I get.
Look,
in case you've been living under a rock.
I got heat.
Oh, man. Well, that's our SmackDown episode for tonight. Some really productive stuff on it. Some underwhelming stuff in that last segment. But I do feel like we're a week away from Money in the Bank. Having qualifiers has added some real substance to the show. Real quick, Alex, who do you think are going to be your Money in the Bank winners?
Oh, man. We still got another week, right?
It's next week. We still do have another week.
Okay. For the women, I pick Naomi, but I could be 100% wrong. I just feel like she's the clear-cut person. Like, I feel her. It's her time right now.
Right opportunity at the right moment for
100%.
Her.
Yeah. You have to. They've done things where they drop the ball, but I think her. Man, for the men's side, no idea. Like,
I feel like so much of it depends on whether Punk is going to be in it or not.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if he's in it, he neutralizes Seth. If he's not in it, like, Seth probably wins, right? And eventually cashes in on Jay. Recreates the moment that he had with the Authority. But if Punk's in there, I think they both maybe take each other out. This chance is that Punk's going to win, and he is Mr. Money in the Bank. Like, that was his first run.
That was his thing,
A lot of it was built around winning those. I don't know if they want to risk Punk in a ladder match. I feel like this is just complete speculation. I feel like one of the nights of SummerSlam, probably in night two, the main event is CM Punk versus John Cena. And I just don't think you need the Money in the Bank briefcase to get there. It would be the most Cena and Punk thing, but I feel like just get there outside of using that device and save that for someone else.
I don't think Punk will win this. There's just first of all, you're going to be putting him in a situation that could cost him, you know, months if he got injured. I think he knows that. I think he's been very smart.
Very aware of like how to spread out his reps right now. And it's helped. He's like doing code reds during Saturday night's main event. It was awesome.
So I think that he just, even if they put him in, I don't see him winning. So
true. I think if he's in it, it's to cancel out Seth. I think the wise thing is to probably not put it in it, especially because I do think they're going to want to do Cena and Punk at SummerSlam.
Yes.
And you don't want to risk him being in that match to possibly ruin that possibility, but there you go. My winners are Seth and Naomi. Solo in the bank, people are saying. All right.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. Well, bank,
we're gonna get out of here.
Bank.
Wachovia shill.
You damn. Yeah, I don't know who other banks.
Chase Bank, Mark.
I'm a just, what is it, 53 and a third bank? I think that's a South thing. I don't even know if they have those up there.
Well, let's get out of here before we get ourselves in.
All right, my friends. Hey,
Alex, where can people find you?
You can find me at alexiscardoza.com. But right now, I want to show you young Alex as I give you my promo. That's me in high school right there, looking all sexy. So, yeah, so you can find me at alexiscardoza.com. Make sure you hit up.
Dude.
I was taught my whole life, okay?
Your whole life, okay.
My whole life. But I do have this, and you guys are going to love it. Oh, look at that. Is that Alex with platinum blonde hair?
Fully at platinum. At a party? You look like a different dude.
I was a different dude. At
holy time. We all were, right? We all were.
That was one of my best friends, Omar. We were just going out back in the day when we used to club. But yeah, find me at alexiscardoza.com, and that's where you'll be able to find everything. And thank you all who are listening to my pod.
Yes, it's awesome.
So thank you all for supporting that. And there's a lot more projects coming along the way. There's a lot of big things that I'm working on. I might be 40, but I'm going to be fab in 40.
Let's do it.
Like, I'm working on my life now. And I never thought I'd be in the positions that I'm in now, ever in my life. So very excited.
I love that for you. I love that.
Oh, because of Kate. We love you, Kate.
Oh, stop. Well, I'll take that. I'll take the solo Sokoa treatment. But you can catch me at Miss Kate Fave. Hey, June is a couple days away. I said I'm relaunching my YouTube channel on June 1st. I think that's actually going to happen.
Let's go.
We're going to be doing wrestling chat and stuff outside of wrestling, including BattleBots. So if you want to join, Tough Guy Alex.
It's a tough guy.
If you wanted to join in some BattleBots talk, we're going to do some bad advice chat as well from like Reddit stuff. We're going to have a lot of fun over there. So at Miss Kate Fabe on the old YouTube channel as well. But have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. It feels so light for us this weekend because Collision is going to be on at like 1:30 in the morning for fighting back for that. So as much as I want to make Cresta do a show that late because she'd be even more unhinged, we're gonna skip that for you guys. So no Collision, Grapsity still going on, no PLEs or pay-per-views this weekend. It feels very weird, but we will obviously be back next week starting on Monday and then all the way back around to Money in the Bank. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. Subscribe here, subscribe to Fightful Select, and have a safe and wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.